of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I'm almost done now. Preach anyway. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Look at God's provision while you're going through. See, many of us don't see this when we're going through. All we see is what we don't have. Oh, come on and say amen. All we see is the discomfort we had last night, or how this is really getting on my last nerve, or how, now one more thing, I tell you, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. That's what we look. Quit looking for the straw that breaks the camel back. Quit looking for your last nerve and start looking at what God has. His.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Kempty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Kempty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 46. Luke, chapter 23, verse 46. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, now as we turn our attention to you and to your word, let the Holy Ghost do in us as only he can. Open up the text, teach us from the text, show us ourselves in the text. And then, God, we pray that you'd give us power to practice the principles from the text. And we'll be ever so grateful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Father, I trust you. Father, I trust you. Jesus now utters this word, which is the seventh word or utterance from the cross. It's important to understand that Jesus is putting into play the final word that will cause him to release his spirit and then trust God for the rest. Everything that he had been assigned to do, everything that he had been given to do, everything that he did was always with the heart of pleasing God. He wanted to please his Father. Why did he want to please his Father? Because as the only begotten of the Father, there was none other who was as close to God as Jesus. None who felt the heart of God as Jesus. None could do what Jesus did in order to restore man back into a right relationship with the Father. And so because of that, Jesus deals with everything that is necessary to bring this whole gathering of man's parts and man's separation back into a wholeness with God. From the beginning of time, God seeing everything from eternity to eternity, knowing that even in making man in his image and in his likeness, that man, being his chiefest creation, would make a decision to go against his will, fall from grace, and it would take his Son and his precious blood to redeem him. And he was willing and most of all worthy to do it. And so there are so many things, my brothers and sisters, that you realize from eternity to eternity, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost have walked to and walked through together. That there is a bond there, a closeness there, an intimacy there like none other. There is an understanding and there is a relationship so close that no other relationship can even compete with theirs. And so Jesus, knowing the heart of the Father, loving the heart of the Father, decides to do what the Father would have him to do and come down, take on human flesh, and do everything necessary to bring his chiefest creation back to him. So in this last word, he says, Father. Amen. But in the first word, he says, Father. The two times he says, Father, in these seven utterances, he says, Father, but for different purposes. All right. The first time, according to Luke 23 and 34, when he says, Father, it's to forgive. Amen. But in the last saying of Father, the seventh word, it is for his future. His future. Because Jesus knows that there is none other he can trust with his future. In the first time he says, Father, it was for the people. Forgive them, for they. But Jesus, the second time, calls on the Father, it's personal. Into thy hands, I. He makes it personal. The first time when he says, Father, it's for compassion. For they know not what they do. They think they know. But they have no idea that they are only pawns in the hands of Satan. He said, but the last time he says, Father, in the seventh word, it's not for compassion, it's for completion. And when you look at the two times he cries out, Father, on the cross, it makes a grave difference. First time it's for the people, but the second time it's personal. First time it's to forgive them, but for the last time, it's for his own future. If you back up to the sixth word, he shouted out, it is finished. John 19:30. Back up to the fifth word, he says, I thirst. John 19:28. Back up to the fourth word, he says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27 and 46. Then he backs on up to the third word where he sees his mother and the disciple he loves. And he says to the mother, behold thy son. And to the son, behold thy mother. He backs up to the second word and he says to the thief, who says, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. 23, Luke 23, 42 and 43. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And all of the parts and pieces are together. And now this last time, he calls the Father. Well, let's just look at those words. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Father, let's stop right there. Father, when Jesus said that, that was the perfect person to trust. Amen. Nobody else could he trust like the Father. Pure, holy, all powerful, all knowing. Nobody like the Father. Matter of fact, when you understand the love that they had for one another, in the 17th chapter of John, Jesus tells his Father, Lord, I pray that they can be like us, that they can be one like us, not two, but one like us. That they'd have the kind of love and share the kind of relationship like we share. And so when he says, Father, in this intimate way, it conjures up, if you will, to use that word, everything that they shared from eternity to eternity, that mere human words could not express. But the Father knew, in the tone and the tenor of his voice, when he said, Father, this time, he was the perfect person to trust. Then he says, into thy hands. That's the proper place of trust. Because when you talk about the hands of God, you're talking about a place that represents power, a place that represents protection, a place that represents purpose. And it's all in God's hand. As a matter of fact, it is inclusive of the reality of all things being in his hand. Even the song sung by those of our world not having the fullest understand said he's got the whole world in his hands. And my brother and my sister, when you begin to understand, when you recognize the power of our God, no other place would you want to put anything worth holding than in the hands of the Lord. As a matter of fact, even the old saints, without a theological understanding and the ramifications of a true exegesis of the word or knowing what was being said, they would tell you, I'm going to put you in the hand of the Lord. You just messed with them. They might not have been able to do. You might have been too high for them to be touched by you. But when they told you, I'm going to put you in the hands of the Lord, they knew somebody who sat up high, looked down low, and who did not do, could not, would not allow his children to be treated any way without him doing something about it. And so he talks about his hands being powerful. Talks about his hands being everything that's necessary to protect. Protection. Protection in his hands. But purpose was in his hand. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. Listen. When you begin to understand all that's in his hand, then you'll understand why he says, I commend my spirit. And that's personal possession of trust. Why does he say that? Because when you look at, again, the relationship they have, Jesus tells the Father, this is personal, I'm putting my soul in your hand. I'm releasing my spirit from me that you've given to me in this earth realm to walk, to do, and to minister as only you could have given me the power and privilege to do. But I'm giving it back to you. Amen. Listen, this word commend means safekeeping. It means commit. So here he's making clear, God, I'm confident that you can keep safe what I commit to you. Now, when you are confident that God can keep safe what you commit to him, then it's well with your soul. I know it was well with his soul, because after he said this, the Bible says he gave up the ghost. Amen. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. It was no more need to say anything else. Because he had committed his soul to his Father, who had the power to protect it, and the purpose of him holding on to his soul was so that he could do what he finished doing, what he started to do, and that was that break, that part that he could not do himself, that he had to trust somebody to do, and nobody but the Father could do that part. He had done everything he could do, and then he gave up the ghost, released his spirit to the Father. Said, Father, into thy hands I commit for safekeeping my spirit. Hold on to it for me. Why? We already got plans. After 3 days and three nights, you're going to give it back to me. I commend my spirit to you, because I know can't nothing stop you from doing what we plan to do. I commend and commit my spirit to you, because there is no other power, no other potentate who can interfere with the plans, because it's in your hand. And the one who thought he could do something, you kicked him out of heaven with a third of the angels that fell down with him. And listen, he is helpless against you. So I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost, because the record didn't stop there. Jesus had already broadcast, if I lay my life down, I can take it up again. When he released it, he was laying it down, not on earth, but in the hands of God. And then laying it in the hands of God, he knew God was going to return it back to him at the appointed How much do you trust God? Everything that Jesus went through, he went through because he trusted God. Because he knew God was going to do his part if he did his part. He trusted God. Listen, my brothers and sisters, and when he gave up the ghost, I like what the old preachers say, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. And you know those Roman soldiers, when they came around to check and see if he was dead, because they couldn't let them hang on the cross to the Passover day. They had to get him off the cross. So because Jesus died and gave up the ghost to make sure he was dead, they didn't break any bone in his body like the others were broken to hasten that death, causing more agony and pain, thus putting stress on the heart, which caused it to have heart failure. When they got to Jesus, they saw that he was dead, so they took a spear and pierced him in his side. And blood and water came streaming down. Can I just make it plain? I know you know it, but somebody don't know the story. And when they knew he was dead, they took him off the cross. Joseph of Arimathea came and begged the body of Jesus. Reluctantly, they give it to him. He takes Jesus' body. He had purchased a tomb hewn in the rocks. Rolled that rock away from the door of the rock. And took Jesus, my rock, and placed him, yeah, inside the rock. And then rolled the rock back in front of the door to cover up the rock that was holding the rock. And the celebration in hell began. They thought they had him. They thought he was dead, never to rise again. Satan threw the greatest three-day party the world had ever known. The imps and all of the demons and dark angels were celebrating all that Friday night. And they were celebrating all of that Saturday morning. They didn't go to sleep. They celebrated all day Saturday. And then around Saturday evening when the sun was going down, listen, some of them started getting scared. Yeah, they say, didn't that deceiver say that when he died, that 3 days later he would rise? And didn't he say he would get up? And he said, now we don't believe he's going to get up, but we believe his disciples will come and steal his body. Listen, they knew it was just the Holy Ghost shaking them up, knowing that Sunday was just about to come. And so they told him, you make your own watch. You make it secure. So they put guards around the rock that covered the rock where my rock was enclosed. And all Saturday night, they watched and watched and watched. And sometime between midnight and the dawning of a new day, angels came down and said, it's time for Jesus to get out of this rock. And they rolled the stone away. And God, listen, raised Jesus from the dead. And I like it the way the old preachers say, the angels didn't roll the rock back to let Jesus out. The angels rolled the rock back to let Peter and John in. To let them see that he did get up early that Sunday morning. Listen, and transfer of power came because Jesus declared Matthew 28:18 that all power in heaven and in earth is in my hand, because he trusted God. Oh, my brothers and sisters, some wonderful things happen when you trust God. God can turn your midnights into middays when you trust God. God can make your enemies your footstool when you trust God. God can take the body that's wracked with pain and make it brand new with not a pain in it. God can do some wonderful things when you trust him.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus trusted the Father with his very life and soul. The question is today, do you trust him? Do you trust him with your life? Today, if I were you, I would come back to the Lord. How can you forgive me when I've often gone astray? How can you think of me when I do things my way, turning my back on you? Feeling so very weak. You say I can be strong. I feel I've gone too far. You tell me to come home. You love me still. And I know this is real. I'm running back to you. I see you standing there for me. Your arms are opened wide.
Yes, sir.
I don't have to cry. I'm running back to you. And you're there, standing right there for me.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community.